The date is the 14th of August 2015. I am here with Jane Pugh in 32 Lincoln's Inn recording an oral history for the LSE 120th Anniversary Oral History Project. Jane, please can you give your full name and your date of birth?
Jane Pugh, 11th of February 1957.
When did you first come to LSE?
Well, I first came to LSE for an interview as an undergraduate back in 1975. Because I wanted to study geography here, because my geography teacher at school down in Cornwall had studied here, and so he encouraged me. So that was my first attempt, but I didn't get the A-level grades I needed. So I ended up taking a cartographic course, and it was a three-year course, and the middle year was spent working in industry. And I came to the geography department and worked in the drawing office there for a year. So that was in 76 until 1977. I then went back to college, and once I finished, I worked for a short time at Central London Poly as their cartographer, and then a job became available here, and I was offered that job, and I've been here ever since.
What was your first impressions of campus?
Well, thinking back to now, I mean, I went to the geography department, and that's where I ended up working, so I believe in fate, and that actually hasn't changed very much, really, because that was fifth floor St Clement's building. I mean, fine, its rooms have changed and paintwork, but I can actually still remember the room that I was interviewed in, and that was opposite the drawing office that was. So I suppose the whole place was, of course, a lot smaller because, I mean, now the buildings, etc., you know, it's so much larger. But I think what I like about the LSE is that it's a small campus, really, compact, sort of bijou.
Did you have a favourite place on campus, or even now, do you have?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind when you say that is the Three Tuns, which in my time at the school has been in three different locations. Well, it's in its fourth location now, because it started off in the basement of St Clement's. So I was on the fifth floor, and you could go straight in the lift right down to the bar after work. And then it moved to the quad, and I think I had another move, but now it's, of course, in the Salisbury Hawk Centre.
Did you actually interact with students in the Three Tuns as well?
Yes, because I suppose I was 19, and so I went around with the postgraduates and so on. So yes, we'd all go down to the bar.
What were the students at LSE like then?
I think maybe more sort of ordinary, or sort of, what I mean by that is I'm still in touch with people from that time, you know. And a funny thing is, one chap, his son actually is studying here now. So, you know, he also is studying geography, and like his dad did. But I think they were more ordinary. There wasn't the wealth of the students, you know. So I think, yes, that's what I can say, really.
They weren't massively wealthy, and there wasn't as many overseas students.
No, well, in my memory, I think that's the case. I think there's more sort of students from this country and so on, not so many. But having said that, no, there were lots of sort of Indian students and things, I think. But I can't, it's funny, I don't really remember that, actually.
What was it like working with your colleagues in the department?
Well, it was lovely, actually. The geography department was a very, very friendly department, and it still is. And I'm still, even though I now work in central administration, I'm still very closely linked. I still go to all their parties. I go on a field trip every year with second-year undergraduates to New York, which I've done now for 11 years. And the reason I started going on field trips was because, at the time, there were not many female academics. It was mostly male academics. So, and the female academics that were there didn't want to do the field trips. So I started going. I mean, I remember one where, I mean, this would never happen. It's changed so much. But I went along with the chap who worked in the map room, and we went down to the south of Spain on a coach with the students. The academics all flew. So we went on this coach that, oh gosh, it was such, it was like 24 hours, I think. And it was a coach, a double-decker bus thing. And these poor little, actually these Chinese girls, was sitting at the front of the bus upstairs. And of course, there's no leg room because it's just the window. And then if you think about a double-decker bus. And I just remember going down through France and stopping at a service station in the middle of the night and getting something to eat. And the chap, Andrew, who I was with, they didn't have any money. I said, Andrew, have whatever you like. We shall claim from the department. But you know what I mean? It was just... So we got there and then the academics showed up. Nowadays, I mean, the field trip, when I started going to New York on the field trip, we stayed in the most grim hostel-type place near in Madison Square Gardens. And, I mean, it was bunk beds and there was a bulb... centre vault up in the ceiling, no side lights, no wardrobe. There's a coat hanger on a hook. And, I mean, probably stayed there 5 or 6 years. I mean, it's actually no longer there, but with the student, with the change in the student and the student experience and everything, we now stay in hotels. So it's quite different. But, I mean, it's having gone to New York for 11 years, it's been amazing to see the difference. And I love walking, and I walk miles and miles and miles and just to see the change. And I start when I first went to New York. It was before 9/11. So again, I've seen the whole development of Ground Zero, which is an amazing thing to see.
Have you found that LSE itself is also in similar ways has it changed in terms of like the technology and the resources available to start now?
Yeah, well, yes, in the sense that when I started, I was a cartographer, and it was literally pen and ink, and everything was hand. It was all hand drawn and. We had computers. 1987 was that we had the first computer, and I must admit, I'm in a way it was so much more skilled. I think IT. I mean, it makes one in so many ways it makes your life very much easier, but it standardizes things. You don't have the same skills. I mean, I no longer draw maps. However, at the moment, I'm hand lettering. I do calligraphy, and I'm hand lettering 80 certificates for the Triumph. For the MBA Triumph thing, and they're A3, and you know, I'm thinking, golly, these students paid, I don't know, $165,000 to do this course. I mean, a phenomenal amount of money, but they are getting a certificate which has been hand lettered, so it does look nicer than something through a coffee. So I think I still have skills, and I think that's the biggest change.
What was it like working with the faculty?
Well, as I say, they in the drawing office we had a tea point, and so you'd have the academics would come in and make a cup of tea or coffee or whatever, and then they'd come and talk to you and see what work you're doing, what you're working on. I mean, the drawing office started in the geography department. We were there to draw the graphs, the maps, whatever for the academics' publications, and. It started off just catering for geography, but that changed, and we worked for the whole school. And then it changed further with IT coming in, and we produced the prospectuses. And I mean, it's now what was the drawing office is now the design unit. So I ran I started in the full time in January 79, and 3 or 4 years later. Vicky Wilson, who trained me, basically, she retired. I didn't take over as manager for 2 or 3 years, but I did end up becoming the manager of it, and I ran that unit for 23 years. So it was a lovely department. And what was the thing about working for the whole school is I met so many people, and when I sort of moved into central administration. It was very useful because I had lots of contacts, and my role, when I changed my role, I was meant to be a sort of a link between academic departments and central administration and try and sort of erode this view of the ivory tower. And because I'd always provided a service and people wanted, people were always, you know, you're in a strong position because they were always very helpful because you'd been helpful to them or whatever. So, yes, I think that's one of the nicest things about the LSE is that it's not too big. I think very friendly. I mean, I know a lot of people don't think this, and people think, you know, there are barriers between, but I've never had a barrier because I've catered for the whole school.
You mentioned kind of knowing everybody, were you involved in any social activities or any sort of staff networks while you were here?
Well, I've always been very sociable, and I'm trying to think back then. I mean, now I was very instrumental in forming the wine advisory group here to try and improve the wines on the list here. I've been a member of the Senior Common Room Committee for years. I organise wine. My hobby is wine tasting, and organise wine tastings twice a year. Again, things like the in terms of being sociable, going on field trips. I'm trying to think what else. I'm sure there are other things, and I just can't think of them for the minute. I can't think for the minute.
Don't worry, we can come back
to it. Yeah.
Looking back over your time here, what would you say were the main highlights, things that really stick out in your memory?
Meeting the Queen Mother. When I first came here, the library was in the main building. And the library where Lionel Robbins' building was, the Smiths Distribution Centre. And it was, they obviously bought the building or whatever, and it was when it had been refurbished, it was opened by the Queen Mother. And it's actually in my, when I was here as a trainee, with my training year. I wasn't on the list to meet her. It's just happened, I was talking to some people, turned around, and we caught eyes, and she came across. So I've been very lucky because I've met the Queen Mother here. I've met Princess Anne a couple of times, because when she came to open the library in its second development, and so now I've been that is a highlight, just catching the Queen Mother's eye.
And what do you think of the change in the library? How do you feel about how...
Oh, it's fantastic. I think the library's the most fantastic building. I think the design is so lovely. I mean, remarkable. And I think when you go in there, I think it looks so... I love the fact you've got all those bean bags down on the lower ground floor for the students to relax on. And it's just very beautiful. And I think I like going up to the very top where you've got HR now and the finance division and looking out onto the building site that we have now with I think I can't think it's called Great not what was the thingy court something court anyway they've knocked it down. So no, beautiful building.
What were like the main challenges of working here? The main difficulties?
Do you know, you say that and I can't think of anything. I think when I ran the design unit, I remember thinking, you know, we needed more computers, we needed whatever. And I remember going to Christine Chalice, and who's the secretary then, and saying, you know, we need this, that and the other. And she arranged it, you know, because we didn't have the budget. We provide a service for geography, and we had to charge. I mean, it was not real money, is it? It's all this internal debiting, but we did charge for our service to other parts of the school. But challenges? No, I look back and think we were provided with what we needed to do the job, and we had enough staff. And it was a very nice job to have had. You know, I'd hate to be a committee secretary writing minutes. You know, I'm far more of a creative person. I mean, my job is very difficult to define my job, because I don't know what I do half the time. But I do have a whole list of things. I produce things like the Governor Experts, LSE Digest, the handbook for the field trip. I look after, deal with the ceremonies, the honorary fellows, honorary graduates, court, council. You know, it's an interesting job, never boring.
Do you think that one of the reasons why you have stayed at LSE for so long is because the work is very varied and interesting?
Yeah, I mean, I worked in the... After 23 years of running the design unit, I was bored. Well, not bored, I needed a change. I've never had children, and I've just worked at the school. And so I resigned because my husband was working in the States in Washington, D.C., and he said, come over, let's get finished, come over. So I did. And I think the school is a very good employer because they do these secondments, and at the time they didn't. I don't think they did secondments before. I think mine may well have been the first one. They said, don't leave, you know, have a year off and then come back and we'll find you a different position. And so that's the plan. But in fact, I was away for 9 months and my husband felt that he was going to be made redundant. So it was decided we'd come back. And the school were good. They find me a position in central admin in the secretary's office, working for Adrian Hall. And it was really good. I'm so glad I've really enjoyed changing roles and having new challenges and such like. So no, that was and I now know people, a number of people do secondments, whether outside the school or around within the school. So I think that the school is a good employer.
You're very succinct. You've actually almost answered my questions.
Have I really? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Well, that's nearly half an hour.
Let me see if I can think. What do you think the future of LSE will be?
That's a difficult one. I can't say what I'd really like to say. It's interesting. I mean, I've worked for six directors at the school. So when I first came here, it was Ralph Dahrendorf, and I thought he was a fantastic director, very strong, very good. And IG Patel was a good director, but quite soft man. So we've had so many different directors, you know. And I look back, I think Tony Giddens, he was very approachable, a lovely man, very charming. Howard Davis, I thought, was very good, and I'm very sorry he resigned over the Livia affair because he shouldn't have done. You know, he'd done nothing wrong. I mean, I remember sitting in the council meeting because one of the things I do, deal with all the arrangements for the council. And yeah, I was there when he resigned, and I really thought, you know, you've done such a good job. I'm so, so sorry. But then we were very, very lucky that Judith Rees stood up to the mark and took over, and she was excellent. I mean, I wish she'd actually applied for the job, and, you know, she'd have been good. And now we've got Craig, who's quite different, his style. He's difficult, I think more difficult as a director in the sense he wants everything. He doesn't want to follow the proper channels. You know, he wants things done now his way and whatever. So I think that makes it more different for central administration. So, I mean, but he'll be the last director, I imagine, that I shall work for. So, no. I've forgotten the question there.
What do you think the future?
Oh, the future. Well, I don't know. I do think to myself, what with things like the student satisfaction results yesterday, and the school's not done very well, it's fallen again. I mean, when Janet Hartley was pro-director, she was for teaching and learning, we had the teaching task force, and the scores were low, and a lot of work was done, and the scores went up. And, you know, there was every year for the last 3-4 years, they've been better, and now this year they're dropping. Which is sad, because you think, what are they going to be like next year when the poor students who come in are going to have to study in a building site? So I'm thinking to myself, gosh, here we are. Developing the new central buildings there. We've got the Cancer Research Building to develop. Well, will they need all this space if they have bad results? Won't have the students, so that's I think a big concern, and I'm sure a lot of people are thinking that. So the school's spent a huge amount of money in the last few years. I mean, Andy Farrell was a fantastic a financial officer, and before him, it was more that the role was taken. Well, it was not a chief financial officer. It was more of an accountant . They didn't have his business sense. And the time that he has been here, he's retired now, but he and Howard, it's under their time that we've got NAB, we've got all these buildings and so on. But I don't think the school needs to buy any more. I think they should stop where they are and just watch the money a bit, because if they start losing, as I say, the student satisfaction, things like the international programme, if whatever reason, competition from other universities in this country or in, around the world. I mean, you know, school at the moment has its pick and, you know, pick and choose from the students, and, you know, the number of students applying for each place, but that could easily change. So the school wouldn't be as wonderful as it is now.
Over the years, you must have seen how things change in terms of the relationship between faculty and professional staff. How do you feel about that change? What do you think of the change?
You see, I think there's a good relationship, because I've always had a good relationship, and but I believe that, you know, in some departments, you know, I call them the admin staff, but I mean the professional services. I sometimes find all this being politically correct is a load of rubbish, you know.
But yeah, they're administrators.
They're administrators at the end of the day, and yes, I think they sometimes think that they are not treated well, or that the staff, academic staff, can be arrogant. And I suppose yes, they probably can be. And, you know, everyone's equal; they're not superior, so they. So I think maybe there could be more respect. But as I say, I've been very fortunate. I've never seen anyone being. Everyone's equal, and I've never been treated as though I'm not equal.
Do you feel that because through this process of interviewing people, we have interviewed quite a few men and a small number of women, but some women. Do you feel that LSE is a good place to work as a woman?
I do, yes, and I think yes. I know that there's this issue about professorial staff, female staff being paid less perhaps than men, and yet that's totally wrong. And I don't, you know, but that will get changed. That will certainly change. And I think, and looking back at the geography department, you think when I first worked there, it was a very small department, and now it's grown. What with environment, climate change, all those sorts of things, it's become a very desirable topic. Area of study, and I look at the academic female academics in that department, and they've never been treated unequally. The school, it will change. It will change. And now far more females are coming in. I look at the school are actively trying to promote it, and so it will happen.
Last few little questions. What do you think of the catering on campus? Like, how does it differ from when you first arrived?
Oh, I mean, it's very much better. And Liz Thomas has been like me. She and I think, are two of the longest. I saw a printout, and I think, I mean, Liz is about to retire after 40 years, and I think I'm now in the top five longest standing administrators in the school. Oh, the food has changed incredibly, and she's very good. She has the most wonderful staff up there, Joe and Leslie and Jackie Beasley. And I'm very happy that Jackie Beasley is taking over from Liz, who's retired. Only problem, I think, is the wine list. As I say, I'm a member of the wine advisory group, the secretary, and it could be better. And we try so hard for Liz to buy wines source wines from other outlets rather than this big conglomerate where they're not interesting. You know, it's Villa Maria, it's all a very common. But we, as a member of the Senior Common Room Committee, when we have our common room dinner every year, we select the wine to accompany the meal from a small independent supplier, and that's so much nicer because you get unusual wines and different wines. So I think the catering is very good. Seeing the staff dining room, very good.
Well, what's the annual senior common room dinner? What is that?
That's held. It's open to all staff, academic, administrative in the school. And if you're a member, you should be a member of the common room. And a lot of people who use the staff common room aren't members, because it's subsidised. Not that you really believe it, but anyway. But it's, in theory, it is. It is. We all have to pay subs, and those subs, part of that money goes back into the catering service. So for the dinner we have an external speaker, and again, that's one of the things I try to do, is find a speaker. And this year we had Lloyd Grossman, who was extremely good, very, very good. Another year we had Martin Lewis from Money.com. He was excellent. So, I mean, both of them are governors or have been governors of the school, so they were happy to come back. And, of course, they don't charge a fee. You know, you could think you could spend a lot of money on an after-dinner speaker. But so we have given a case of wine or something to thank them. So next year, we're now just thinking about who to get next year. So we're trying to get Boris, actually, or Dave Attenborough. I did write to Dave Attenborough 2 or 3 years ago, and he sent a really nice... He hand wrote a letter back to me saying, sorry, he couldn't do it, but we're thinking about we could get, like, Judith Rees to sort of use her influence, because he'd be a good speaker.
Do you enjoy these occasions?
Yes, very much, yeah. Yes, no, in the Senior Common Committee, about 8 or 9 people, but really, there's Jan Stockdale, myself, and Kate Barker, and we are the doers, and we just arrange the parties and things, and the events, and now they have a pub quiz. Simeon Underwood was the compere for, so we'll have to find someone else for that.
From other people have said that when they first arrived at LSE, like in the 60s and 70s, and even in the 80s, there was no real way of making tea or coffee in their own departments. So they used to, in the afternoons, almost everybody would gather in the senior common room to have tea. Did you do that as well?
No, because we had tea and coffee facilities in the drawing office, so the geography staff would come up to us. And so that was nice, because you'd way of getting together and meeting people.
And did that happen, like, every day at a specific time?
Or? No, it was just people coming in when they wanted a coffee. And, of course, it was really the people on our floor, fifth floor, the ones who used it mainly. But you did get people from the fourth floor coming up, because they'd sort of kill a bird with 2 stone, come up and talk about the work you're doing for them, and then have a cup of tea.
So you kind of pretty much answered most of my questions. Is there anything that you want to say that you feel that I haven't covered, that I haven't asked you about?
No, just that I think I can't imagine having worked anywhere else. And you know, I think I've had a great... I just can't imagine not working. I dread the fact of retiring, really, because I think how my life is my... Work is my social life, you know. I think Coopers should be part of the LSE campus, because you go into Coopers and half of LSE are there, and it's really a handy place to catch up and, you know, hear what's happening. So no, I would say it's a fantastic place, and I've just had a really good career here, and have always been supported, and I'd recommend anybody coming here to work.